Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Einen wunderschönen guten Tag. We are so happy that you're here. Come on in, make yourself at home in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is, indeed, episode number 68 of Shell Cottage Radio, and this week we will talk about chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the Patronus. As always, we'll start with our cottage catch-up, train for future trivia nights, and do our best to learn more about fagical and mantastic beasts.
Did you almost say fat magical beast? Wow.
Well, some of them are fat.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. And if they're magical.
It's just my mouth can't perform.
Came in really well on that microphone, though. You were off mic, and then you came in. I just want to say your experience around the microphone itself is so much better. So good. You've grown.
I'm experienced now. I leveled up.
I'm proud of you.
You're my Pokemon trainer, and I'm your Pokemon. Am I going to evolve?
Maybe this episode. Actually, maybe this episode. Let's see what happens, friends. The Patronus is evolving as we, get into this week's.
Ooh, I just had an idea.
Okay, yeah.
Do we know what our Patronuses are as we go into this episode, as our cottage catch-up?
I do. I happen to know mine.
Oh, yeah, I know mine, too. Mine's the mayor, I think.
Oh, well, why don't we just spit them out right now? mine's, yeah, so... People are like, Ez was just saying that. He didn't really know his. It's Irish Wolfhound, I think.
Yeah. We have a dog and a horse.
Dog and a horse.
Very good animals. Very good and, what do you call them? Loyal.
Loyal. Trusty. Sturdy.
Years and years.
Just awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, into cottage ketchup, friends, and happy October.
Yep.
That's what I see in the dog.
That's all I wrote down is a happy October.
Because you're happy about it.
Today was really the perfect October day because last week it was still pretty hot.
True.
People force the October vibes upon themselves and us because there's Halloween decorations awesome. But the weather definitely still said summer.
Yes, it did.
And today it's the first day that's really like chilly outside and there's a storm rolling in and we have our candles lit and... we had hot chili. No, it's just chili, right?
But I mean, it's
hot. Hot soup, but
yeah, it's warm. You say warm chili. Yeah. It wasn't spicy hot.
We had a nice warm soup. Here we go.
Yeah. So, what's on my mind? I have just here Wheel of Time and Ahsoka. You know why I have that on there? Because I just watched the Wheel of Time finale last night and it was awesome. And I really enjoyed it, and I think it's one of those things we might be bringing to this channel in the future. Mm-hmm. Also, go check out Star Wars Hangout. We just covered Ahsoka, the finale this week, too. So it's been a pretty good week,
Very productive.
Yeah, just lots of cool things coming out. It's awesome. Last night, I took Lottie to a football game with my dad, which was fun.
His alma
mater. Yeah. And it was cool just to be out there. It was cold. We had the blankets on. Definitely fall vibes there. At the game.
And our team crushed. Their opponents.
That's true. Yeah.
So was fun.
That was good. Anything else, I guess, going on cottage catch-up wise? I would say this too, over on an Unexpected Podcast, if you haven't checked it out in a while, Lane and I are over there doing what we call the Night Breeze and Moments in Middle Earth. And let's just say some of those moments in Middle Earth are keeping Lottie up. We're having a blast. I'm not so sure that she's able to sleep.
That's all good.
As well, but
no, they're doing great.
Yeah, it's fun. We're having a good time, and if you guys want to check that out, there's like two episodes a week kind of coming out, two or three.
I know. You guys are churning it out.
It's crazy. Yeah, churning it out. So, anything else?
Not really. There's not much to say in this cottage catch-up, as we now have our new segment later on, and I'm trying to scroll and find it here. It's Irma Pence's recommendation of the week, so we'll talk about that
later. Sounds good.
Books we read throughout the week, and we try to read more you know, like inspirational personal development books, and we want to share some thoughts with you. So we put that in a new segment at the end of the show.
Yeah, and you know what? Remind me if we get there at the end. You might want to type this in the doc while I'm saying it, because okay. Obviously I won't remember. But I'd like to talk also about a Jedi Knight in that segment, all right? It's something else I've read recently, which is your focus determines your reality.
Let's go.
Qui-Gon Jinn, the master.
That is such a wise quote from...
It's about what's amazing. It's in episode one of Star Wars, and it's just there. And I went around today, and I didn't tell people it was from, yesterday at school, and I didn't tell anybody that it was from Star Wars or that it was from Jedi. And I just said, hey, your focus determines your reality. And they're like, wow, that's like the monumental advice. Like, that's actually legit. Really makes a lot of sense. If anybody who's been to my Instagram, you know that's been my sort of quote that I have in my bio for a long time because I had to shift my focus years ago. You know, it was like, man, I was focused on the wrong things, focused on the wrong stuff, and just focused on the negative, too much negative energy in my life. And so, that segment is fun at the end of the show because I think Lottie does some good stuff, some good work in terms of, finding us some things to listen to on the way to work.
Oh, hey, this week you found us something. So that was awesome.
Oh,
or it still is. We're still actively listening. But
yeah, now I know. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Okay.
Okay. Then, let's get right into the trivia training.
All right.
I'm asking the questions today, as always. Almost always.
I was going to say, it's
unless you have, like, last-minute questions you want to enter.
I'll try to think of some on the fly.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, first one. What is Hermione's favorite subject?
Was that in this week's episode?
Absolutely.
Yeah, or a chapter, I should say. It was arithmancy.
It is arithmancy.
But is it actually her favorite? Does she really?
That's what she says.
She said it this chapter. I just kind of wonder overall if it's like her favorite, you know?
You think later on,
it could change.
She's already taking all the subjects, so I feel like...
Oh, she's had experience in all of them, yeah.
Yeah, she tried all of them, and I don't know. She just loves school in general, but I think arithmancy is really her thing.
Yeah.
Because arithmancy, I had it pulled up earlier. I don't know where it is. It's just, you know, it's... They teach the magic of numbers, right?
Yeah.
But also how you can predict the future with numbers.
Oh, really?
And it's really just math, I think.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, magic of numbers. Isn't there like magical numbers? People always, you know, when they come up with wild theories, they always throw out numbers and how they're related and connected. And the square root of this equals that. And that's why... Oh, yeah.
I just found a book. If you type this up, it's called The Magic of Numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's, you know, is this what you're referencing? I mean, this is also looking really cool.
I was just referencing the definition of arithmancy subject on the wiki.
On the wiki? Yeah. Well, this is kind of cool. This is just looking at, The Magic of Numbers, written with two goals in mind. First, to introduce the reader to some of the beauty of numbers. The patterns in their behavior and how we see them in art and how we see them over the millennia.
Numbers are magical.
Mm-hmm.
When you told me that the shape of the moon is perfectly, or the distance of the moon to the earth and to the sun is just so perfect, it should not be off by, I don't know, a very small amount.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
it
could not. Our whole solar system wouldn't function, and we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's trippy when you go look at like how perfect our moon is compared to like the solar moon.
How?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Yeah.
But numbers are magical, and it's cool that you know humans started discovering that and.
Yeah, patterns and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So. I actually like math in school. I disliked math for a while because I was talking to my friends a lot. And I didn't pay much attention for a little bit. And then once you miss the start of a new topic in math, you're screwed. You have to make that up. Otherwise, you don't know what the next step is and how you get to the next step.
Right.
But then in like my 11th, 12th grade, I was really good at math. Because I came back from the States and all my friends were already in... they already graduated. Or they were already one class above me.
Yeah.
So now I was with a group of other kids who I talked to, but they weren't really my friends. So I paid attention in math, and I discovered that I really liked it and had a lot of fun. So,
cool.
Yeah.
I was decent at math in school, but I was never really, I don't know, I wasn't great at it. And then now the students, they ask me for help, and I'm like, guys, seriously, like, that's not happening. English, history, maybe a little bit of science, but
that's a
math.
Lot. You really have to get into it again. Yep. Okay, I have a second question this week for you.
Yeah.
And you might like this one. When is Molly Weasley's birthday?
Oh, I'm guessing it's sometime in December.
No.
Is it in November?
No.
January.
You could have kept going.
Oh, October?
Yeah, it's in October.
Because I'm just thinking where we're at in the story, and I was like, I don't know. We just went through Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay, yeah. We went through,
we're on the back end of...
January, February is this chapter.
I was thinking maybe you tied it, you know, into this. But what... Okay, it's in October. When is it?
Little Molly Pruitt, at the time, was born October 30, 1949 or 1950. They're not sure.
Okay, so the day before Halloween.
Yeah.
All right.
So I thought it was cool.
Now I will remember that. Yeah. Day before Halloween.
I wonder October 30, what makes her the zodiac for October 30? She's a Scorpius. Scorpios.
Really?
Scorpios.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Scorpius.
Scorpius. They're to take full responsibility of the way they treat their own emotions while returning the responsibility of others where it belongs. On a path of pure faith, believing that everything happens at the right time and in the right place, and accepting reality just as it is. Oh, that's just for Scorpius born on October 30th. I don't know. She seems very worried. I mean, she's a large family, so I don't blame her.
Right. So, speaking of zodiac signs and stuff, what if I just popped on you right now a personality quiz?
Oh, go for it.
Like a very, very random personality quiz.
Yeah.
You ready for this? You're going to have to help me with this.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to have to, in the doc, you're going to have to write down your answers as we go. So you're going to say them out loud, and then you also just kind of write them down, and then we will analyze
them.
Yep. So, well, we need to remember them as we go through the results.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, and friends at home, I mean, have fun with this. If you want to, you can try this as well. I'll read them to you. Yeah. Write down your own answers. Maybe share them with us or something, or... you know, try this on a friend, but I think it's pretty cool. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, question number one. So what is your favorite animal? And write down three adjectives describing that favorite animal. So you don't necessarily have to tell us your favorite animal, but you can. But it's more important that you write down three adjectives. Like, is it, you know, just something about, like, how it makes you feel?
Okay. So nowadays, it's definitely a Katze. Which is German for cat.
Okay.
So cats are my favorite animals. Because, yes, they're cute. Okay. That's the adjective that just comes to mind. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. What else about them?
They're also... I like that they are independent.
Okay.
I do like dogs, but I sometimes...
This is going to be great.
Sometimes I like that they're just, you know, chilling with you, the cats, and they don't need as much from you, even though they're like, I love our cat Sophie.
Yes,
she's so independent, but she just wants to hang out with us. Yeah, so cute.
She's great.
Independent. And what else? They're what's a good adjective to describe they're agile, or
they're agile.
Is that the trait I like about them? I think it's cool.
Yes. So this is, again, all your connection to this animal. So, like,
okay, they're soft also. they have
cute, independent, and soft. That's fine.
There you go.
It's really just what comes to your mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So what is your favorite color? And then write down three adjectives describing that color.
Wow. That's hard.
Yeah, it is.
Describe a color.
To describe a color. What just comes to mind? An adjective when you think of it.
Okay. So it's blue.
Okay.
Blue is friendly.
Okay.
Blue, what else?
Like, I don't want to influence you or anything, but is it relaxing? Is it calming?
Yeah, definitely calming is a good word. Yeah, definitely calming and deep.
Deep's
good.
Oh boy.
Blue is deep. There you go. Like the sea.
Okay. Let's see. So, question number three, a little bit more detail here, but I want you to pay attention to this as I kind of read it, all right? You're sitting in a chair inside a room facing a window. Outside the window, you're looking at the most beautiful, peaceful, relaxing scenery you could ever imagine. Because of the view you're enjoying, you feel at complete and utter peace within yourself. Suddenly, without warning, someone comes up to the window and pulls the shades. There is nothing at all you can do about it. So, what are your three emotions in order that you feel them? Write them down.
Surprise and emotion?
Yep, surprised. Okay. You're surprised that they did that. They pulled the shade down.
Confusion and, yeah, just, I don't mean, a mix of anger and sadness that I can't see.
Okay, which one?
Whatever I saw, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to write down sadness.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I want to know where this is leading because
oh, I know.
It's very
great.
Open test. It's not like choose one of the three, you know?
No, I know, right? Here we go. Okay, so on to the next part. You are walking in the woods. Who are you walking with?
You.
Okay.
Clear answer, yeah.
Okay, so number four, you write that down. Write down me.
How many questions are there?
Don't know.
Oh! This might be the whole episode, guys.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
You're walking in the woods. You see an animal. What kind of animal is it?
A deer. That was the first thing that just came to my mind.
Okay, write down a deer.
Yeah.
All right.
Just because you keep seeing so many deers around here.
Yeah. Okay. What interaction takes place between you and the animal?
The deer was just eating some grass, and it just looked up, but didn't run away. Just noticed us, and we noticed it, and that's okay. It.
So we just, I would write down, just noticed each other, you know? Kind of maybe looked at each other, right?
Yeah.
All right. You see a key on the ground. What does it look like, and what do you do with it?
I see it. It looks like, it's just round and then has these patterns, like, just on one side, like a key that you would use for a normal door.
Okay.
And I pick it up.
Okay. So, all right, cool. Key with patterns. All right.
Mm-hmm. Number eight.
You walk deeper into the woods and enter a clearing. Before you is your dream house. Describe its size.
My dream house is a medium, not a tiny house, but a little bit bigger. Like a cottage. Yeah, cottage size.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit bigger. Just a wee bit bigger. Because, depending on if we have kids or not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is your dream house surrounded by a fence? Yes or no?
No, not in this scenario.
No. Okay. So let's note that. So go ahead and note number eight.
I'm not writing anything down. I'm so in the dream world.
You're there. All right. Next, you enter the house. You walk into a dining area and see the dining table. Describe what you see on and around the table.
Oh, on the table. There was not much on the table, actually, when I walked in. I was more focused because I was anticipating the question, what it looks like, not what was on it. So there was nothing really on it.
Okay.
It was just a, nice wooden table. Just a very, what do you call it? Sturdy?
Yeah, sturdy wooden table. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything around it?
It was close to the kitchen itself. So it was like almost like the dining table and kitchen island at the same time.
Okay. So right, nothing. Nothing on the table.
Okay.
All right. You exit the house through the back door. Lying in the grass is a cup. What material is the cup made of?
It looked like Helga Hufflepuff's cup.
Really? So
with
gold
two
and
handles,
so like metal and
yeah.
Okay, so write down metal, gold, and
because it's probably my. You meant I don't know if it's supposed to be like awesome. A tea or coffee cup, a cup and
that's
for
the
me,
first thing. Yeah.
A mug and a cup are for me. Just
absolutely, that's perfect.
Metal cup, like.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What do you do with the cup?
I pick it up on both handles and just look at it.
Okay, so you pick it up. You walk to the edge of the property where you find yourself standing at the edge of a body of water. What type of body of water is it?
Definitely a creek or a river.
A creek or a stream? Okay.
Yeah, or a stream. Yeah.
How do you cross that water?
I just jump.
You just jump?
Yep, it's not that huge.
So you just jump over it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You
Is
ready?
That it?
Yep, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Here's the results. All right. So part one, the animal is how you perceive yourself. So cute, independent, and soft.
I mean, I said agile, but I went back to soft.
I love it.
Interesting.
Yes. It's okay. The color is how you perceive what others perceive you. So friendly, calm, calming, and
crazy.
Deep, right? Okay. So friendly, calming, and deep.
Okay, yeah.
Right? All right, now the room with the shades where you were imagining everything, right?
Yeah.
That is how you would react to death. So surprised, confused, and sadness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Next up.
Yeah.
The person who you're walking with is the most important person in your life.
True. 100%.
Me. Yours truly.
Yours truly. Yep. 100%. Okay. Agreed.
The size of the animal mm-hmm. is representative of your perception of the size of your problems.
Oh. Is the deer a pretty big animal?
It's medium. It's medium. It's not as big as like a, you know.
An elephant.
Like an elephant or yeah. a rhino or a bear or
yeah.
a moose. You know, it's not as big as a moose.
Okay, so. Yeah. And it was a smaller deer, I would say. So okay. it's not tiny, but it's there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The severity of the interaction you have with the animal is representative of how you deal with your problems. Was it passive? Was it a passive sort of interaction or an aggressive interaction?
Passive. You haven't noticed yeah. each other and looked at each other. Yeah.
So kind of passively. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. I like this.
The material the key is made of or your description of the key is representative of how much you value knowledge. What you do with the key is representative of what you do with knowledge.
I'll pick it up.
So you pick it up. Yeah. That's kind of cool, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's more that like that your key had some more intricate designs, sort of, kind of, a little bit. I don't know. It had teeth. I guess knowledge has teeth. I don't know.
It looks normal. I said like a normal house key.
Yeah. Okay. The size of your dream house is representative of the size of your ambition to resolve your problems.
Okay.
So kind of like a medium size, medium to small size resolve to solve your problems.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No fence is indicative of open personality. People are welcome at all times. Right? So you had no fence.
Interesting. Real quick, to go back to number 8 also, it said how my ambition to deal with my problems is, and I said, depending on the kids, it would be bigger with kids than without.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay, so if you have
so
kids,
yeah.
you have more of a drive to solve those problems.
Yeah.
Because
that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, and then on to the table, as you come in to look at the table, if your answer did not include food, people, or flowers, then you are generally unhappy. And oh. I disagree with this
wow.
one. Wow. I think it's like, you know, you're asked to imagine it, and most people don't have stuff on their table necessarily. Like your table at your apartment and our table, right? I always had yeah. stuff on it. And
yeah, like the decor. I thought about it, but when you said, okay, what does it have on it? I thought about like, you know, like fruit and stuff, like platter of fruit.
Yeah.
But that was not my first thought when I came in. And I was just so focused on the, okay, right. look at the dining table. And I thought, okay, you're going to have me describe it just like the key.
Right.
I was so
right.
focused on what it would look like. Then there was nothing, you know.
You were focused
like,
on what it looked like, not what was
yeah.
on. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. So, because I would say you are a happy person.
Yeah. You know I would mean? Say so too. Yeah. I'm not super unhappy. So.
Also, this is not superficial. It's just for okay. The durability of the material with which the cup is made of is representative of the perceived durability of your relationship with the person named mm-hmm. in number 1. So, you said sort of like, yeah, metal, strong, gold, right? I mean, something like that?
You mean the person number 4? Because number
yeah, sorry.
1 is the animal, yeah.
These are numbered differently than what you numbered.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the person.
That's great. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay, good. Let's
metal
see.
Metal cup, gold handles.
And then your disposition of the cup is representative of your attitude towards the person in number 1. So you picked it up and you looked at it.
Well, if I had known it was you, I, you know.
Oh, would you give it a kiss?
I would give it a kiss.
Let's see. The size of the body of water is representative of the size of your desire for love.
What?
I know. Why didn't you say an ocean? What in the world?
Boo. Who has
Boo.
An ocean in their back?
Some people do say ocean, though. It's crazy, like listening to all the different responses. Okay. How wet you get in crossing the water is indicative of the relative importance of your love life.
Well, I tried to jump over it, but you I might just land right in that crate.
You didn't get wet at all. Oh, my gosh. I feel like we're revealing.
Well, when you jump, you depending on the size, if it's a little bit wider, then you might have to get your feet wet and your ankles.
Okay. That's all?
What?
I'm hoping you fall face first in there. You know what I mean? I'm kidding. Anyway, it's just for fun. I thought it was kind of cool. And I thought
it was going to tell me like, okay, this is my personality now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why it's called a, yeah.
Interesting though. That was a fun exercise.
Yeah. It's cool. Right. So.
Cause I like that place that I imagined. Somewhere in the woods and has a little creek in the back.
Yeah, there's a little deer there and you've got your little cute cat that's independent and soft.
And to be honest though, I would have a fence if it wasn't in the woods. Like if there was neighbors, I would like to have a fence.
Yeah, no, I get
to
you.
To be honest.
I know. Yeah.
So.
But anyway, so some people go pretty crazy with the whole zodiac stuff and they get into all the different, you know, these things, and I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting because this week it kind of came up. There was a
cool
teacher who is super into that, and she then also kind of passed this on to me and some of the other students, and it was just really.
Now I can never do this with you because you already know the answers. You would think about what you want to say. Yeah,
I know. You'll have to wait. You have to wait until I forget it.
Yeah.
Because.
And then maybe.
Yeah.
Pull up a similar one, but not the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, there you go, friends. Give that a try to your significant other or your friend or whoever, and.
That was a cool surprise.
Get to know them a little bit better. You know.
Let us know. Let us know what was your result. That would be interesting if you want to. Send us an email.
Tell us the size of your house and then tell us whether you have a fence or not. All right. We want to know. Some people are looking at their actual houses going like, wow, this, you know.
Hey, I feel like a teacher right now because I'm like, okay, so this took longer than we thought. So we're just going to skip the next part and head right on to the main part.
I mean,
the main part. Normally we have our weekly Magi Zoology lesson now, but I know my little student over there is not a fan of this subject, so we're just going to skip it today.
You think I'm not a fan? I do like it from time to time. It's not.
Yeah,
that
sometimes. Yeah, we're going to talk about this creature next time.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Sorry, guys. I had to go and do the personality test.
No, that's great.
You know, distracted the teacher.
We can jump right into the summary.
Let's go.
Chapter 12, The Patronus. Harry and Ron are mad at Hermione for telling on them. Harry, after owning the best broom in the world, is now back to owning no broom at all. The rest of the Christmas holidays, Hermione avoids the two boys and retreats to the library. Shortly after New Year's Eve, Gryffindor Tower is back to its lively hustle and bustle. Oliver Wood approaches Harry right before the start of the next term. The Gryffindor captain can't risk losing the next game against Ravenclaw, even if it meant letting go of his phenomenal seeker. But Harry promises that he is working on his problem with the Dementors. He also tells Oliver about the firebolt he got for Christmas and that McGonagall confiscated it, as she fears Black might have sent it to harm Harry. Wood is fired up and doesn't seem to care much about Black. He's confident that he, as a captain, can talk sense into Professor McGonagall about the broom. With the start of the new term, Harry is eager to begin his private defense against the Dementors' lessons with Professor Lupin. On Thursday night, he enters the History of Magic classroom and waits until Lupin turns up with a large packing case under his arm. He caught another boggart for Harry to practice with. Lupin takes his wand out and teaches Harry the Patronus Charm, a powerful and difficult incantation that can drive Dementors away. All Harry needs to do is think of a very, very happy memory while muttering the words, Expecto Patronum. The first memory Harry decides to use is his remembrance of his first time flying on a broomstick. Right before Lupin lets the Boggart Dementor out of the box, Harry wonders if a part of him might even want to hear his mother's voice again. He quickly shakes off the thought, and as the Boggart draws nearer, he tries to defy it with the new spell. Soon, however, he's devoured by darkness and his mother's screams ringing in his ears again. On the second try, Harry thinks of an even stronger memory. Gryffindor winning the House Cup last year is definitely one of his happiest memories so far. But despite trying hard to focus on the spell and the memory, Harry loses consciousness again, and this time he hears not his mom's, but his dad's voice before passing out. He tells Lupin about it, and the professor seems very touched by this news. He admits that he knew Harry's father when he was young. They were friends at Hogwarts. Instantly, Lupin regrets putting Harry through this. But Harry is more motivated than ever to try again. He knows he just has to keep searching for an even happier memory. And then it clicked. The moment when he learned that he was a wizard and that he would be leaving the Dursleys' home to go to a magic school, that was the happiest memory he could think of. On the third try, after hearing only a muffled version of his parents' voices, Harry manages to produce a non-corporeal Patronus, which protects him from the Boggart Dementor. Lupin finishes the creature off with a ridiculous charm and congratulates Harry on a great start of his training. With a large chunk of Honeyduke's best chocolate in his mouth, Harry asks the professor one last question before leaving for his common room. He wanted to know if Lupin also knew Sirius Black if he was friends with his father. The professor doesn't seem too keen on the subject, but still replies that he indeed knew him, or rather thought he did. On his way back to Gryffindor Tower, Harry makes a promise to himself. Instead of dwelling on the past and his parents' voices, he knows he needs to focus on the present and do everything to win the Quidditch Cup. With the match against Ravenclaw drawing nearer, Wood increases practice nights from 3 to 5 a week. While this leaves Harry with only one night a week to do all his homework, Hermione seems to spend her evenings with nothing but homework. The immense workload is finally catching up with her, but she refuses to drop any of her subjects. Several weeks go by and Harry grows more and more impatient as he doesn't make much progress in his anti-Dementor lessons. All he is able to do is create a silvery barrier between him and the Dementor. Professor Lupin assures him he has achieved a great deal in such a short amount of time, and he is confident Harry will be able to protect himself during the match. Harry is still unsure, and he wonders what's hidden under the Dementor's hood anyway. Lupin explains to him that no one knows, as they only lower their hoods to perform the Dementor's kiss, a procedure in which they suck a person's soul out through the mouth, leaving an empty, soulless, but biologically functional body. Harry did not expect such a horrible answer to his question. Deep in thought, he runs into Professor McGonagall, who at least has some good news for him. They checked the firebolt for every jinx possible, but couldn't find anything. Therefore, Harry can have it back and ride it in the match against Ravenclaw. Harry's heart is lighter than it had been in a month, and he and Ron decide to make up with Hermione. Yet, just when Ron offers to carry Harry's firebolt upstairs and feed Scabbers, he returns with his bedsheets in his hands, furiously yelling at Hermione. The bedsheets have blood stains on them, and on the floor, he found Crookshank's furballs. Scabbers is gone. I'm sorry if your birthday is in January, but January is really, if you ask me what was your least favorite month of the year, I think my answer would be January.
Really?
Well,
it's a new year.
It is cool, but sometimes I feel
it's just
this
deep winter and you're like,
no,
too
actually,
cold.
Okay, I take that back. Well, I'm trying to think. Well, so sometimes it's this, you know, Christmas and New Year's are all exciting. You have all the holiday spirit, and it starts with October here, actually.
Yes, yes.
Halloween spirit, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas, just boom, 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 and yep. January is then. Like, it slowly goes back, and you know, goes back down, like, the excitement and everything. And
yeah.
And now you have to get back into the real life again. And
yeah.
It's always been a harder time of the year for me.
Yeah.
It's dark all the time. And February is, like, my little light, because that's when my birthday is. And that's what I said. If your birthday is in January, I totally understand if that's one of your favorite months.
Yeah.
But
so, sorry.
It's just for everyone else. Yeah, it's... I mean, it's getting better, though. Like, I've had the past couple of years, I think it's getting better. And it's often also the fact that in January, you go back to school after your break, and it's just hard to get back into the grind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. You're coming off of a break and
yeah.
and holiday times and everything's just totally, it's just, yeah, you're on a big high to finish out the year, and then it's
yeah.
like back to the grind.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I think because spring also means newness and is new,
yeah.
you know, a new beginning sort of or whatever. And for us on a teacher cycle, we also have that sort of new beginning to like spring going into summer. And then we get a new beginning again as we enter fall because we're starting a new school year. It's kind of weird and crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get you. You know, Lane, my buddy.
Yeah.
He has a major problem with the month of September.
Yeah, okay. I get that because it's tough as a
teacher.
It's
just as tough as a teacher, but it's more so that, like, he is wanting fall to get here so quickly.
and it's still summer. Yeah,
yeah. When August is over, he's done. He's
yeah,
done
yeah.
with summer. And, like, September's this weird kind of, like, is it summer or is it going to be fall? Like,
yeah.
what are we doing here?
Are we getting a pumpkin spice latte or are we going to swim in the pool?
Yeah, and it looks like you're doing both of those things in Ohio.
Yeah.
So, It's crazy. So I wonder if folks out there do have like a month of the year that's just not your
favorite
month, and it's different for everybody, you know, because
I would like to change that though in the future. I want January to be actually a really, really good month.
Wow, that's exactly what Lane said in the episode that we did the other day.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to change my relationship with September. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Okay, that's crazy.
People are doing some therapy. I know you didn't know that. So that's why I thought, it's wild. He totally changed his mentality. He was like, I got to be more forgiving, you know, and more understanding of September. It ain't September's fault, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with January.
January needs some love.
Yes, it does. It needs some love. So, yeah.
So all this to say... it's a new year for our trio, and they're not starting it off on good terms because Hermione just told on them. Harry got the probably best Christmas gift ever for a little boy who's playing Quidditch. I was going to say soccer. Why? To play soccer.
Yeah, wizard soccer,
And it got taken away from him because of Hermione.
Yeah.
Who's their friend.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, that's rough, but I even felt bad at the end of this chapter because I'm like, guys, you want to say you're sorry? I mean, say you're sorry because Hermione was just looking out for you.
She was.
Even if there was no jinx on it or no spell work or whatever,
she was worried.
That's a good thing. Just like when someone is even if you give somebody advice, even if that bad thing never does come, it's like, okay, it's still nice that the person gave you some heads up or some advice or was looking out for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another thing. That's also kids developing, and I see that all the time with kids. Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys. Like, that was a good thing they did. Say you're sorry. Make up. Let's go. But it's hard, I guess.
They definitely didn't like the silence because Hermione kind of retreated to the library, and they were hanging out in the common rooms. Nothing going on. So they were happy when everyone returned from the holidays, and the school year or the term started back up again. Back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And right before term starts, though, Oliver Wood.
Let's go.
He was ready to ditch Harry. He's like, you know, look, I am the captain. I got to make tough decisions here.
Yeah.
If you can't handle yourself with those Dementors, I got to find a new seeker. Now, who would he have picked as a seeker?
Oh, my gosh. Who would he have picked? Wow.
Would he have made someone else from the team a seeker and look for a different position? Or would he just straight out try to find a seeker?
Great question, because I feel like Katie Bell's a pretty good flyer, you know?
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
There's that. I don't know, though. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, wouldn't it have been a crazy spot to like introduce a new character who's like a year older or 2 years older, or who's like maybe a seventh year who just never had his chance? And I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Just somebody who...
It is a little crazy to me in general that in Quidditch, there's no reserves, really. It seems to be like they just have their seven players and that's it.
Right. Like, get Colin Creevy out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get old Creevy on the broom and have that'd be crazy.
I mean, I do feel like Fred and George would tell Wood, hey, our sister, you might want to like have her try out because she's pretty good.
She's pretty good. Yeah. And actually, that could have been her moment to shine. Yeah, that's
because
a good point.
She's already second year. The first year they can't try out. Second year, she totally can.
Totally can, yeah. So. And she's been practicing with him. And if she's so good that she can go to the pros, it's not like she got that good. I mean, she does at her time at Hogwarts, but she's already, when she comes into Hogwarts, really good on a broom.
Right.
Really good at playing. So, yeah, definitely Ginny.
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, no, Wood was out. He was like, man, I'm sorry. But also crazy that he has to do that the Dementors are still a factor. And it's like, we made the joke like a couple episodes or last episode or whatever it was, that Dumbledore was just like, hey, Quidditch is Quidditch, like, hooch, you know, let them play, right? Let them play.
Yep.
They can't come into school, but hey, this is Quidditch. Yeah. Harry, tough. Come on.
Yeah.
Toughen up. Like, wow. Jinx.
Now you owe me a coffee. I owe you a coffee.
I'll take it. Okay.
So, but Harry saves himself, basically, from being kicked off the team by saying, hey, I got this. I'm taking lessons, or I'm starting my lessons here soon to protect myself against the Dementors. And also, the second he mentions... Oh, yeah. You want to say something?
Sorry, you hesitated on Dementors. How do you say Dementors in German?
Dementoren.
Dementoren?
Yeah. Wow. Ein Dementor, one Dementor. Dementor.
Yeah.
And zwei, two, Dementoren.
Wow, we definitely need to do that Harry Potter game where you say stuff in German.
Yeah.
And I try to figure it out.
Yes. Ugh. Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay.
We played that with Arna and Christine. That was fun.
Yep.
So yeah, I was reading Patronus while I was trying to say Dementor, so my head just, it took a second to not say Patronus instead of Dementor. Anyway, so
Dementonus.
The minute Harry says
Prementors. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Firebolt,
sorry.
Wood is fired up.
Yes. Yes.
Fire
up the wood. Wood be fired up. Wow.
Yeah. And he says, so Harry tells him, sorry, I mean, I got this awesome broom, but I guess confiscate it. And now, I don't know when they're going to give it back to me. And Wood is like, I'm going to talk to Professor McGonagall. What does he say? I'll make her see sense.
Mm. Wood?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I love your passion, but I don't think that was... You know, clearly it didn't go well, right? He does get told later by McGonagall, like, yeah, check yourself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. She's worried about Harry's safety, and he's sort of like, well, look,
What word did they use? Sorry.
It's also like he would,
shirty.
He would almost be like, Harry, look, even if you can't do it, give me the firebolt for the team. This is for the team. You know, give it to Jenny, whoever. Like, McGonagall, we need that. That is a weapon in our arsenal that we should have. So,
yeah,
I understand.
He's funny. Did you hear a cat?
That was me going.
No.
That was me going.
I felt like I heard a noise.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. This is cool. And you said it when we were listening to this episode or this chapter in the car, how they started. So it's super cold, January, probably still lots of snow and ice. How they started the first lesson of care of magical creatures.
What's going on?
Did you hear the cat?
I can't hear anything.
Oh, that's right.
I'm listening to you.
Sorry. It sounds like we have a cat outside our door.
Oh, we're not going to be able to get this episode done at all because Lottie is totally distracted by a meowing kitty cat outside.
Maybe it's my own self meowing outside of the door.
Oh my God, then let's go get it, you know?
Yeah. No, but... The first magical care creature lesson, they start a bonfire full of salamanders for their enjoyment.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
And they spent an unusually good lesson collecting dry wood and leaves to keep the fire blazing while the flame-loving lizards scampered up and down the crumbling white-hot logs.
Mm. So, like, they're like fire salamanders.
Yeah. They just learn about them and probably learn how to keep them alive, or I don't know if they need a fire to survive.
I love that it makes me think of Newt, and it makes me think of Tina Goldstein, you know?
Yeah.
And her salamander eyes. It's just like...
True, yes. You know? Gosh. Shout out to Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, I know.
We're still waiting for the day when it comes back.
It's going to happen.
It's going to come back, guys. And then divination is not as fun because... It turns out that Harry has the shortest lifeline that Professor Trelawney has ever seen. Mm-hmm. They're doing palmistry.
Yeah.
Like, yours is very, 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 very short. Your lifeline. but we said something that's really sad in the car. Well, if Harry's lifeline is so short, okay, maybe that has something to do with he kind of did die for a second and then came back, right? Maybe she did see that. But what about all these other students who do pass away during the Battle of Hogwarts, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, maybe she's not looking at everybody else's palm and she just happens to look at Harry's and it's like, oh, yeah. And it's
because sort of she knows that something's symbolic up.
Yeah, it represents all of them in that battle, really. So, crazy.
I want to get to the defense against the Dementors lesson, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, oh my goodness, I haven't read this, the exact words from the book in so long. Again, because the movie is really good. It's different. So what Harry says to Lupin first is different, and then the choice that Harry makes for his happiest memory is also different from the movie memory.
Right.
So let's get right into that. His first lesson goes pretty well in total. So he has three tries with the Boggart Dementor.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. He practices with the Boggart.
Yeah.
That turns into a Dementor. And it seems like the Boggart does not just adopt the appearance of whatever the person is scared of, but he actually becomes the thing.
Yeah.
Because he has the same, even if it's milder, the same effect on Harry.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
for sure.
Like a Dementor would. And that, I've never thought about that.
Yeah, why? Why does he still hear his mother and father?
Yeah.
Is it just because, is the Boggart really sort of drawing in the powers of that Dementor?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because, for example, like, when it turns into Snape, does that mean it knows all of Snape's, like, spells and powers and stuff? Could it do
just
magic?
Just a little milder. Yeah, it seems like it.
Seems like it could, because the Dementor is able to make him recall those things and to go deep inward. I know those are memories and moments inside his own mind. Yeah. So maybe just like seeing this Dementor is his mind associated that visual with that place in his mind. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why it's traversing back there. And it's not necessarily the powers of the Boggart / Dementor.
Yeah.
But don't know.
I'll tell you what, a Boggart seems to be like Ditto.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Pokemon Ditto?
No.
Look up Ditto. Look up what it looks like. Probably that's what people would imagine what a Boggart looks like when it has no form.
Oh, wow. He's cute.
Ditto is a Pokemon that takes on the form of the opponent Pokemon, basically.
Wow, who
are you? If I send out a Bulbasaur to fight against Ditto, then Ditto would take on the form of Bulbasaur, and it would know Bulbasaur's attacks, and it takes on its type.
Whoa.
And stuff like that.
So it just mimics him. Is it as strong as him as well?
That's the question. That was, I guess, like, if you have a level 5 Ditto fighting against a level 30 Bulbasaur. I haven't evolved Bulbasaur yet, but anyway, then yeah, probably no. It's not as strong, definitely. It does not take on the level.
Okay.
Only the form, and it knows its attacks.
Dang.
That makes sense.
So the Boggart is literally a Ditto.
Yeah.
Wow.
We should make a short about this.
Yeah, we should. That's cool.
Is a Boggart actually a Ditto?
That could go viral. I will make it tonight. No, I'm not even kidding you.
I love it.
Wow.
I love a good crossover.
I've never looked at this Pokemon. Looks ridiculous. It's just a squishy little purple guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's interesting when Harry tries the first time, so Lupin teaches him the incantation is Expecto Patronum, and he has to think of something super, like, you know, a very, very happy memory. And the first memory he chooses is the first time flying on a broomstick. And then right before Lupin opens the box with the Boggart in it, he has that thought. He thinks any second now, he might hear his mother again, but he shouldn't think that. Or he would hear her again, and he didn't want to. Or did he? That's what it says on the book. Or did he?
Or did he? Yeah. Later on, he feels a little bit guilty about that because he's sort of like, not focused on the incantation or the spell work or whatever. Mm. I'm more focused on what I'm going to experience and what I'm going to hear. And so, yeah.
It's almost like a little bit like the mirror of Erised again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's always been interested in his parents and his past and stuff like that. So now he's found a mechanism that allows him to go back and revisit that scene, even if it's extremely traumatic and he's able to hear his parents.
Yeah. And, you know, people could argue why you haven't really known, air quote, known your parents. Why do you miss them so much? But A, because he grew up with a family who was not really a family to him.
Yeah.
Who didn't give him that parental love.
Right.
And B, I think that Lily's love is still in him so much. It echoes. He still feels it.
Oh,
and
for
that's
sure.
That's why he still feels so connected to her and them.
Yeah. 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 Her magic is still working.
Yeah. And the first try goes wrong. Nothing's really coming out of his wand. He's just muttering the incantation. And then he hears the voice and he passes out. He gets a chocolate frog from Lupin starts again. So on his second try, he thinks of the last year's house championship when Gryffindor won the house cup.
Yeah.
That was a super happy memory. And I think now reading the book again, like we just finished Chamber a few months ago, that was like, I think it said something like the best night he's ever had.
Okay, yeah.
But after the feast and everything. So I do think that was a super happy memory for him. But then something unexpected happened. He tries again, fails, and this time he doesn't hear his mother's voice, but his father's.
Yeah.
And it says, "Lily, take Harry and go. It's him. Go, run. I'll hold him off." The sounds of someone stumbling from a room, a door bursting open, a cackle of high-pitched laughter. Mm. And then Harry wakes up. And he tells Lupin, "I heard my dad. It's the first time I've ever heard him. He tried to take on Voldemort himself to give my mom time to run for it." And then Harry realizes that he has tears in his eyes and he tries to kind of hide it from Lupin. Mm. But then Lupin says, and this just breaks my heart, he says, "You heard James?" said Lupin in a strange voice. "Yeah. Why? You didn't know my dad, did you?" "I did, as a matter of fact. We were friends at Hogwarts." And then he says, "Harry, I don't think we should
continue on. I would call a stop to it right there too. Like, this guy's going, I mean, this kid, you know, he's going back and reliving super traumatic events, and this is really hard, really advanced. Guarantee this was not approved by anyone else too. This is all done on the side. McGonagall probably would not have been happy about it, especially if they know the effects that Harry's going through here, you know. And the fact that this is all just to defend him from Dementors on the Quidditch pitch. Thankfully, this will come in handy
later
throughout the rest of the series.
Sure.
Yep. But it is. It's a gateway back into. It's really interesting that this is how we can go back and re-experience that night a little bit, and Harry get a little bit closer to his mom and dad and what happened, as well as these two new friends that he's learned about with his parents. So we've got Lupin, Sirius, and then Pettigrew. Right.
How crazy is it that Harry, though, just spoke the last, or did he say it exactly? No, he doesn't utter the words that he heard. Okay, I thought he would spoke to Lupin the last words that James said.
Right, but he heard him. He might have.
Well, Harry did, but not Lupin.
Right.
Yeah. I just thought, how crazy, though, to Lupin. Like, you know, he's already training his best friend's son, and now he's talking about James.
Wow. You just gave me a major Star Wars vibe there when you said he's training his best friend's son.
Yeah.
That is like Jedi Master stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, honestly, if we were in the Star Wars universe, Lupin would be like that.
He'd be a Jedi Master.
Yep.
And James also was a master, and they fought together during, you know, that war.
Yeah.
And he lost his friend, and now he's training his son. That is, when I think about it like that, it's almost, I've always thought Lupin is epic, but now I'm like, whoa, like it just frames it in a way that I'm like, dang, wild.
Yep. So this last try, I want to point out to you guys, this is the thing that was very different from the movie. So in the movie, Harry says the memory that eventually made him conjure up the Patronus, or, you know, non-corporeal Patronus, was that he just heard his parents' voices, I think, talk to him.
Yeah.
They just talked to him when he was a baby. And it always threw me off a little bit, because that's when he was under 1 year old. So he was 1 year old when they were killed. So his conscious mind wouldn't really remember.
I don't remember that in the movie, though. That's the thing.
Hopefully I'm right.
Because I think they would think of that too, wouldn't they? Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I think he just says he thought of his mom and dad. I don't know if it was just what they said in the movie, but either way, like, it's different, like you're saying, from what we
have
in the book.
I want to
get it right now. Bum,
okay, we just rewatched the scene to confirm and to tell you.
You were right.
I was right. So he said he was just basically seeing their faces and hearing them talk, and that's it. And he doesn't even know if it's real.
He doesn't know if it's real. Also, he doesn't know what they were saying either. Impression that he has.
More like a, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the case in the book.
Right.
He has a different memory that he chooses. And I think that's super strong, too. And it just gives me so much joy, because this is what, as a kid, we all dreamed of, right? Someone just coming to take you away.
Mm-hmm.
He chooses the moment when he first found out he was a wizard and would be leaving the Dursleys for Hogwarts. If that wasn't a happy memory, he didn't know what was.
Mm.
Yeah, the moment someone came and took him away from his horrible, horrible life with the Dursleys.
You're a wizard, Harry.
No. And isn't that so sweet, though, that Hagrid is part of that memory? Man,
absolutely.
He was the one. He was supposed to be the one who gets him, saves him from the Dursleys, and then later carries him through the Forbidden Forest in the end.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Hagrid's huge.
Getting chills.
Get it? Hagrid is huge.
He
All
is.
Right. It's a big deal.
All right. So this time it works. He can create at least a silvery barrier between him and the Boggart Dementor. He doesn't really create a real Patronus yet, but Lupin tells him it's huge what you did the first night. He didn't expect him to do so well because it's a very highly advanced charm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think he says beyond OWL level,
for sure.
kind of like.
And so. Still, some adults can't really conjure up a corporeal Patronus.
Yeah.
And that it becomes one of Harry's specialties that he teaches all the DA members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we did like a short on Patronuses or something, and you were saying the word corporeal.
I know. I said corporeal. And someone's like, in the comments, it's corporeal. Come on.
I don't even know if we're saying, I'm, they're big words, people.
That's why I'm so aware now to say corporeal.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All
I'm saying is it just made me think of that. And
yeah, me too. All the time. Yeah.
Words. I don't always get it right. I had kids this week. I wanted them to challenge me to like come look up words that were difficult because I run like kind of a reading class.
And, yeah.
And it was always like, guys, don't be. I mean, there's so many words out there that are like difficult. We don't use very often. We don't say. And so they pulled out some good ones. I'll have to pull them up for the next podcast because.
Oh, and have me read it. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. They were tough ones to read, tough ones to say and pronounce. And then some of them was like, you could read or pronounce it, but you're like, what does this mean?
Yeah, that's me every time I read from the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them book.
Yeah.
So before Harry leaves, he was kind of successful this night. Before he leaves, though, he remembers that Lupin told him he was also friends with his father. And does that mean he knows Sirius Black or knew, you know, Sirius Black? And Lupin is not super keen on the subject, but he says, I knew him, or at least I thought.
At least I thought I did. Yep.
So Lupin is still not sure. He can't believe his friend did all this, but also that seems to be the truth for now. So he's super disappointed in his friend and doesn't really know what to feel.
Yeah.
But he's so close to finding out that it's all not true.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Clear Sirius Black's name. Let's go.
I know. But this, I don't know. Sorry.
So after that, they then go to what I think is an interesting point. They go to, he's on his way back to Gryffindor Tower, friends. And this is where he decides he's wrestling with, as you said, sort of the idea that he's been listening to his mom and dad. He's hearing their voices. And he's sort of like, I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. And then he needs to, you know, just focus on the present and do everything he can to win the upcoming match. I love that we get a little back and forth on the matches. You know, did Slytherin win? Did they not win? Ravenclaw? And so on. And Wood is increasing those practices to, you know, as we said in the summary, 3 to 5 a week or whatever, which is...
Five times a week.
Tense, people.
So that means Harry has five times a week practice. And then also one night a week he has the...
Homework.
Lessons with Lupin.
Yeah.
And then he has only one night left to do his homework. That's not a lot if you know.
Heck
if
no.
You're a busy student. And sometimes you get, I mean, you get homework in every subject and you have so much to do in just one night, you can't do it all.
I'm going to tell you right now, when I do become the professor of history of magic, I'm not assigning homework. There will be a 20-minute block where in which you can get this assignment done. If you don't get it done,
then
it's
your
homework.
Yes. Okay. That's what I do in my classes.
Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Such a nice German teacher.
Yeah. But then I get angry when students still sit there and don't do anything. And they're like, whoa, we have homework?
Frau Kirk, what did you just say we had to do? So, do we have to do that now? Or, like, can we do it whenever we want? Or when should we do it?
Can we get a calculator?
Oh, boy.
All right.
But he's not the only one who's struggling with school stuff, because Hermione, her ambitious schedule is catching up with her, and she sits in the common room every night. She has multiple tables where she spreads out all her books, and she's trying to do all the homework for all the classes she does. Yes.
Yeah, I would say, so after this whole bit with the firebolt, and she kind of turns the firebolt in, and then they don't talk to her for a while, yep. Right? So she's just, I think in her mind, she's like, you know what? Fine. You guys will figure out eventually, yes, that I was right.
That's her
I have
mindset.
Too much to deal
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Your maturity level is down here. I am here, and I need to focus on mm-hmm. my studies and get after it. Because she is driven. She yeah. is driven. She is passionate about her studies, about knowledge, about learning,
yeah.
and she wants to learn everything that she can. And I just love it. I think also, too, you know, I sometimes escape to, like, an audiobook, or I do like reading. I like watching TV. I like watching stuff like going on a walk or whatever. Whatever your thing is, going to the gym, right? That gets your mind in a good place. I feel like for Hermione, it is her studies.
Yeah, for and, sure. She loves actually, learning.
Mm. Yeah, like when I remember last semester or two semesters ago, I was picked up some history classes and I was working on them. Yeah. And I was so, it was awesome. I was watching history YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I was like reading through all these books, taking notes, going and collecting resources from other teachers. Mm-hmm. I was doing stuff that I didn't need to do at all for class. But I was like, nah, if I'm going to know this, I'm going to know it, you know?
I loved when you told me about all that stuff. Yep.
Crazy. All the stuff I was learning about just how the world functions. And then, international relationships was the course I was taking. And then mm-hmm. some of it was like British history.
Yes.
Oh, boy. The monarchy. That was some wild stuff. And there's so many names that are like recorded, and mm-hmm. if you really get into it, there's just, I mean, that seems obvious, but I think we only hear about these certain individuals, kings and queens and whatnot, and you know, leaders and stuff, but there's so many other people that were just captains on this vessel that they were mentioned, and I don't know, generals and stuff. It's, and again, there's even more. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it yeah. is.
Like, we're not going to be listed in the histories, probably, in this lifetime,
which
okay?
is okay.
It's okay with me, actually. Totally fine.
We
but
build our own history.
I just am like, wow. So I feel like that's what she's doing, though. I feel like she yeah. is there, spread out with all of her books, sort of like, they'll come around when they come around. And then they do, and it's sort of like, at the end of this, as I said at the beginning, they kind of make up for it once we get the room mm-hmm. back, which we're about to do, I think, right here. We're coming up on the part where we're going to get
yeah, just right before it. It's just that, I think it was interesting that Harry goes back to the lessons with Lupin, and that one night he feels like he's not really making progress for a while because he only manages to put up that wall, or, you know, it's like a Patronus, but it's just silvery dust / what do you call it?
I call it exactly what it looks like in the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever they did there.
Yeah. And he's kind of disappointed that it's not an actual Patronus that takes up shape.
Yeah, he talks about that. He even talks about, like, I thought this would be something that would charge
right.
after a Dementor.
And drive him away.
And Lupin's like, yeah.
A real one does.
It will, buddy.
But it's so cool how he shows confidence. He says, I'm confident that you can do it, Harry. Lupin yeah. does. And then they have a butterbeer together.
They do. And I bet you that goes down as a great memory for him,
uh-huh.
for sure.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, as you go to conjure your Patronus mm-hmm. now, right? Mm-hmm. You... Lottie Kirk, what do you do? Huh? What's your memory? What do you, you're in Harry's shoes.
Wow.
I know. Put you on the spot.
You did. Definitely.
You want me to give you mine?
Well, definitely what comes to mind is, and for some people, whatever, you know, it might sound very
cheesy. It might sound
cheesy
a little
to you,
corny.
But it is memories that I have with you.
Yeah.
Like meeting you for the first time.
In Costa Rica.
Definitely one of the happiest memories. Being in Scotland with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. That was great. You know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Me too, though. I'd say me too.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're blessed because we have a lot of happy memories to kind of
we do
choose from. And I think when you look at Harry, too, it's sort of like, okay, he had a pretty miserable life
yes.
growing up. So
the happy memories are very condensed into the last
yeah.
2 years.
Right. And that tells you something. It's sort of like, that's why Hogwarts means so much to him, and that's
yeah.
why we all are sort of like, wow, this poor boy grew up in a, you can't even call it a family. They did not consider
yeah.
him family. He was not to be really associated with him. I think it
yeah.
probably disgusted them to like even call him their nephew, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And that's the crazy part, you know, that might have been just like that for Tom Riddle might be the same, because the orphanage wasn't a happy place for him. And then Hogwarts was his only place where he made good memories in a different, very different way, though.
Yeah.
But this is to show us that how similar Harry and Voldemort are, and yet they turn out so different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Also, we get into, so after that, so thank you for sharing your, yeah. I just wanted to, wink, wink, I wanted to hear that it was, you know, your happy memory was tied to me, you know.
Yeah. No, it is.
Anyway, I'm just kidding with you. You guys are. Some people are like, gross.
Yeah, come on.
Goop to the Harry Potter, will you, please? Sorry.
Oh, just wait 10 years and you're going to say something different. Yes, of course. Hopefully, in 10 years, I'm also going to mention maybe, you know, the birth of our kids.
Maybe like a future little spirit baby, you know?
But they will always be part of the happiest memories.
Cool thing is, I think sometimes why we do that is like, Harry Potter is like our love language too, because that's how we met, you know, is through Harry Potter. And so I just think it's great. I love it.
I think also now that you say it, it's the night after we first talked, not even when we first met like in Costa Rica, but when we the night after we had our first long one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, it was wild. I felt like I could, I was walking at a local dam actually. And I remember looking down at my shoes, and I think I sent you some dumb video of my shoes walking.
Yes, you did.
You sent me one too, and I was out on the dam, and I looked out over the lake, and I totally was just like, I think I could walk on that water right now.
Yes, you know I mean?
It was like, I was like, I just go out there and just I mean, I felt like I was
woo.
Anyway,
high. Yeah,
that was cloud nine, baby.
Yep.
But anyways, that's why we do that. So bear with us. Sorry, just skip ahead 30 seconds. You're fine there. You're fine. Okay.
Let's talk about kissing.
Let's talk about the Dementor's kiss, actually.
That's not very happy.
Yeah, well, this is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sometimes forget that they can kiss. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they can. They definitely, like, latch their mouth.
Yeah. You want me to read it?
Sure.
They call it the Dementor's kiss. It's what Dementors do to those they wish to destroy. I suppose there must be some kind of mouth under there, because they clamp their jaws upon the mouth of the victim and suck out his soul.
Mm. Yeah, and this is where Harry is sort of like, they talk about Sirius Black and in the news that it's a punishment that they would give for him or whatever, that it's, he's going to be given the Dementors have been given permission to kiss him on sight. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Lottie has also been given that permission with me to kiss me upon sight. Anyway, sorry. the Dementors, though, they're gross. They're absolutely like disgusting, gross. They look gross, and then they did a great job in the movie of making them look ugh. And so they're talking about this, but Harry is sort of like, "Well, I think he deserves it," you know, serious. And it's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down. Yeah. Let this be a lesson on not judging too quickly." Yeah. And also, like, as Lupin said, he goes even a step further than that, which is like, does anyone deserve something like this, though?
Isn't it worse than
death.
Yes, I was going to say, they say it might be worse than dying, because your soul is trapped. And we talked about this. If your soul does cross over to the whatever lies on the other side, if it's trapped in a Dementor, it can't.
Yeah, you're not at rest. I don't even know there is
what happens when your body dies. We don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird. I've done shorts on it because I think people find it fascinating. In Harry Potter, and it's a high search, keyword or whatever in the Harry Potter fandom. People talk about Dementors and Dementor's kiss, and could you destroy a Horcrux? Could you destroy Voldemort with that? What would happen if you if you sucked Voldemort's
soul in there?
Right, if you suck Voldemort's soul out. And it goes into a Dementor. Do the Horcruxes allow that Dementor to take that soul? Because they technically haven't taken the soul beyond. It's not like Avada Kedavra, which is trying to remove it from the body and separate it into the afterlife. Right. It's these Dementors are technically still of this realm and existing in the same place or same plane that the Horcruxes themselves.
To think your soul's lost in there.
Yeah. It's crazy. So. Anyway, though, I'll say this. Unless it's Halloween and you know who's underneath that hood, I would steer clear of Dementor's kiss.
And Harry is really taken aback by that news, and he's deep in thought when he walks back from Lupin's, or from the classroom, History of Magic classroom. And he runs into Professor McGonagall, who has some good news.
Hey, Harry, guess what?
You can have your broom back. Woo. And guess what? We're going to go apologize to Hermione. And guess what? Not really, because
we're scabbers. Boys, and we don't... Oh, scabbers. Yeah, sorry. Also scabbers. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Harry could have apologized right there.
True.
So Harry has the chance to do it, and then, you know, they're all kind of looking over the broom, and Gryffindor. Fireball. Like, yeah, they're pumped.
They love the fireball.
Everyone's looking at it. It's awesome. And Ron runs it upstairs. And then, yeah, as you say, at the end of the chapter, ba-boom. There's
blood, hair, cat hair, and Scabbers is gone. I mean, Ron just insinuates that Crookshanks took him.
Yeah.
And he's probably dead. And he's so mad.
I'm just imagining Crookshanks, you know, said he took him. He took Scabbers. And I just imagine this cat with his paw just wrapped around Scabbers, this little rat, and he's just holding him, you know, there, hostage.
Yeah.
Got him right here. What are you going to do?
Wait, though. Can you imagine that what would have happened had Scabbers actually eaten Peter?
No, I don't want to think about it.
He would not have, I mean, Sirius would not have been able to prove his innocence.
Oh, yeah.
But then also Voldemort wouldn't have come back, so... I don't know.
Yeah. Dang.
Mm-hmm. It was big that Peter escaped here.
Yeah, it is. Interesting. I never thought about Crookshanks. What happens if you eat, like, an animagus?
You're just eaten.
You're just
a rat
gone.
At that point. Yep,
wow.
You're just dead.
Wow.
I mean, if you have any other information on that, I think you're just dead.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Sorry. There's the little morbid way to end the chapter, Scabbers, but no. Scabbers is gone.
Scabbers is gone. We know he's not really gone, but for Ron, he is. And it's sad because Ron loved his pet, and it's weird to think about. It's not really been a pet for him. But
right. Strange, but hey, you know, sad. I mean, Peter Pettigrew, I wish we could give him more. He just, I don't know, so many different things when it comes to him. We could do a whole
We never get enough of his backstory, really, to feel
sorry compassion. For him and compassion. Yeah, yeah. I think you could, though. I think that's what people want with Marauders, is they want a story where Peter is trying to be, you know, something more and good, and certain things happen. Maybe there's a side that's not intentional from James and Sirius that just sort of starts to kind of demean and put him down in a way that they don't realize. They're kids. They're teenagers. Yeah. These things happen.
So. I don't understand why they're not making this Marauder series that everybody wants, and it would fit in so well with all the different shows that are popular right now. I just don't understand it.
I'll tell you right now what they're doing
is
they're rebooting the series, and they are going at it with that in mind.
Hopefully,
I think they're going to go...
It's just going to take so long.
That's all right. Hey, it's the rest of... Hopefully, we're around for it.
yeah, I know, right?
maybe if we're not, hey, I don't know, somebody...
We'll have to teach our kids how to podcast.
Yeah, we'll teach our kids how to podcast and then have them just think fondly of us and tell us maybe what happened. Anyway, or watch from the spirit realm, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because that's what people do in the spirit realm. They just sort of hang and watch it. Maybe we'll be ghosts, you know? Maybe our business will not be finished until they've completed the Marauder series and we will haunt this world.
For the rest of HBO.
HBO, yeah. Okay, moving on to our outpost, actually.
I'm pulling up right now.
I got it right here, actually. So shout out to Tyler Warren. Thank you so much for sending us a message.
Thanks, Tyler.
We got this over in our Gmail, and we also got this over on Instagram as well. So you guys can send that, again, to both places, at Fleur and Bill on Gmail, and then at Fleur and Bill on Instagram. So this is great. But he said, so I was listening to the podcast, and you all were discussing Snape being extremely mean to Neville and not understanding why he was that way. I believe that he was mean to Neville because the choice of Voldemort to attack Lily and not Neville's parents... he takes it out on Neville because it could have been his parents, right?
Yeah.
And Lily would still be alive. So it's this idea of Voldemort has a choice. Does he decide between, does he go after the Potters or does he go after the Longbottoms? And if he goes after the Longbottoms, Snape is then, this is great, by the way. I actually might even turn this into a short, Tyler, because this is, I mean.
Yeah.
really cool to kind of think about. Is that's sort of maybe one of the reasons why he resents Neville and his family and stuff. It's a weird, twisted, sort of immature way for Snape, because a lot of people talk about Snape being emotionally stunted and his maturity not being there just because of all the how traumatized he was as in his youth, and then how traumatized he was at school, and then losing his best friend and all that kind of stuff. So he definitely hasn't developed beyond this. It's something that has just really traumatized him, and he's intimately involved with it because of what he passed on to Voldemort himself. Right? He's not responsible for outing the Potters, but he doesn't really even know and understand how what he heard at the
related
Hogshead
related to Lily
at all. If he would have, he never would have done it. Right?
But
So now though with Neville, I get it. He does not mark them as his equal, and rather it's the Potters. Mm-hmm. And so that means, you know.
Great thought, Tyler. I think you're right. You could be right about that. I also think, though, when we are hateful towards someone and we blame them deep, deep inside, we blame ourselves. So I think definitely that Snape has that self
It's like
hatred
a
little bit. He did that. He brought that upon himself by telling Voldemort about the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he found out, he hoped, okay, maybe I can even gain from this by getting rid of James and the son, and then having Lily for myself. I don't know if he ever really hoped that then Lily would be happy with him or whatnot.
Right. I know, but some people have speculated that he at that time he was so, you know, he's dabbling in the dark arts. He had taken the wrong path. He was somebody who needed redemption, and he had definitely gone down.
People have speculated had Voldemort chosen Neville and his parents, would Snape still be a Death Eater?
Like, let's say he heard in his camp that he interpreted that vision by Trelawney, or the prophecy, had that have been interpreted to mean the Longbottoms, would he have ever went to Dumbledore? Yeah, great point.
It could be. Still a Death Eater.
Definitely might have. I think maybe something over the course. Now, if Lily lives on and has a son and whatnot, there's always more opportunity then for Lily to influence Snape. And I think that would have happened
she'd
at some point.
She'd still be around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she's a better person than, and I think she would have done something, if she could have, to bring him back. Or there would have been another moment like
that's a great thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an optimist, and I like to think that Snape doesn't really want to be there. And
I like that.
I just think he's sensing a place of belonging. I think he's bullied and picked on by other people, by his father, by Gryffindors and everybody else. And so it's sort of like, okay, who else is going to appreciate me? And it's a very, very similar to Wormtail, kind of.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, two guys came out of this class this year feeling like they like less than, and feeling, I don't know, maybe bullied a little bit by James and Sirius, possibly.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think you could put Wormtail in that group. And there's a reason. I know it's just people say fear, like he's just afraid of Voldemort, and was decided to go with someone more powerful, to ally with someone more powerful, because he wanted to spare his own life, and he was a coward or something. But I think there's more behind that.
A little resentment, towards his friends.
Yeah.
As Tiffany always says, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
It's the sad truth.
Yeah, so. All right, though. Hey, thanks. And I would love to get more of these. So if you guys have thoughts on previous episodes or any topic or character, what have you, it drives us all around the series, and it's great. So please send us an out.
That was good. Okay, on to our final and one of my favorite segments, Irma Pence's recommendation of the week. And before we introduce the book a little bit, you wanted me to remind you of Jedi Knight?
Yeah, just that. So my thing was, so we're focused right now on habits.
Yeah.
And habit changing and trying to, you know, increase, I don't know, just eliminate bad habits, me personally. And then I'm also trying to create better habits, right? And so your focus determines your reality.
Yeah.
So if you're focused on trying to create better habits, you will.
Yes.
To varying levels of degree, yep. Depending on your focus. But I thought that was cool. You know, if you focus on doing better at job, or if you focus mm-hmm. on being better in your relationship, or if you focus on any task, yeah. right? If you devote more time and focus and energy towards it, it's yeah. more likely you're going to accomplish that thing. True. Or you're going to, and that will become a reality for you, if yeah. that makes sense. So, yeah, if you focus on negative energy, too, if you watch and if you have negative people around you mm-hmm. and you focus on them and you dwell on that, you'll see, I believe, that more of that just sort of creeps into your life. Yeah. And I know I'm at work all the time and I'm constantly telling people mm-hmm. that I just want positive energy.
Yep.
And when the negativity comes up, and it's also me, too, sometimes. So, like, yeah. that's the other thing, too. It's not just other people. It's also us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a situation happens and we're like, oh, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
And then we get negative yeah. and we start to then... you know, sort of spread that. And the moment that we catch ourselves, as soon as you realize you're doing it, you stop.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing, is that we have control over that as soon as the realization hits. Yeah. So that led me into this idea of habits, focusing mm-hmm. more on habits and like reading more, because you have here Atomic Habits,
right.
the book we're reading.
Yes.
And so you want to talk about it a little bit.
Right. And I thought it was fascinating that the author, James Clear, is from Ohio. And he graduated from a college in our area. So yeah. that was so cool to me, because I have read this book before, but I didn't know you at the time. I was in Germany.
Yeah.
It was recommended by all the different, you know, in Germany, Laura Malina Seiler is one of the greatest podcasters who talks about personal development and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I think this book was recommended by her and other people. And I downloaded the audiobook just I totally forgot about the beginning when he tells his story and then talks about that he's from Ohio. And I probably thought, oh, that's cool. But then he talks about the college and that didn't ring a bell to me at the time. But
right.
now it's so fun that it's a place where we like to go and eat breakfast. And
yeah,
just
yeah.
that he went there.
Yeah, it's so really cool. It was really cool because I didn't know it either. And as we're listening to it, I was like, whoa, Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I even know the town that he's from. I know the college that yeah. he went to. It's cool. So,
and his book is all about, like you said, the idea that small incremental changes in our habits can lead to significant and long-lasting personal transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So anything in life, if you want to, and he talks about it, and we're going to talk about this key concept in a little bit, if you want to, air quote, reach a goal, you have to create a habit that will get you there. And people who are successful, they weren't just lucky.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
created habits that got them there
right.
for years. And I think it's a fantastic concept because it gives you power, honestly. And it says the power of habits, right?
Yep.
But it gives you the power. You can change your daily habits to get to where you want to be. And I want to talk about this key concept, though, that for me was a great reminder that you should prioritize systems over goals.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And
yeah.
can I just say,
please.
As a teacher who I set a lot of goals for kids, and I always kind of talk with parents, like, we got to have students involved in that goal-setting process.
Yeah.
But the very next thing is, like, what are our objectives to obtain that goal? What are our things that we are going
right.
to do? And that's where the systems become very important. We can set whatever goal we want, but if we don't set up a really good system to get there, it's
right.
really hard. Unless you have, like, super motivation and discipline and stuff, and you have that for a short time, we can get those short bursts of energy,
mm-hmm.
but to do something that is life changing
right.
and long term and that's going to be long lasting, creating systems was yes. definitely his point was we need to create those
right
and focus on those over goals.
Right. And it's not completely against like setting goals. It's probably important to know to set a direction, I think he said.
Yeah.
But then focus on what it is you need to change in order to get there. And then, you know, if you don't get to exactly that point, but you get super close or you even surpass it, that's the power of that habit you created, not of setting the goal itself. So what does he actually mean by systems? I guess like, yeah, they're like the processes that you go through or behaviors that you have every day, right? The
yeah,
habits. It's
those
themselves.
Are the small things. That's
yeah.
the atomic. So in Atomic Habits, it's sort of like, looking at the atomic level, you're going in and you're setting up something, you know, in your daily routine, a small micro adjustment
yeah.
that if done every day.
Like meal prepping instead of getting takeout somewhere.
Right. I mean, this seems like such a small one, but if you did it every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm sorry. If you did it every single time you went to the shopping mall, for example, mm-hmm. if you parked as far away as you possibly could.
Oh yeah, that's a right, good one.
And you walked up you know into the store or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you did that every single time,
yep.
for the rest of
it
your
adds
life,
up.
Would that not add up tremendously?
Absolutely.
And instead of trying to get the closest spot, right? And it's just a habit. And if it's a system that you say nope every time, it's something that you and it, but it doesn't. You're going to the store anyways, and it's not like a mega huge adjustment.
Yeah.
And it's just something minor that you add in, but you it's something that you can and will stick to for the whole
yeah
time.
Like you did, you used to go for one lap in between every single period, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was one lap, and it seemed like not a lot, but over the course of the day and then the weeks and then the months, it added up.
Yeah. For example, in my building, when I go for one lap, if I can get five of those in, that's 1 mile. And so I could have just sat and stood outside of my door, but yeah. instead I chose to take one lap,
yeah.
and I did it for between every, so at the start of the day, one,
mm-hmm.
and then in between all the different periods, and we have 8 periods, so you've got 8, so now we're up to 9, and then at the end of the day, I would wrap up with one, which would be 10.
Yes.
And that was 2 miles, so that was
there
two
you go.
Intentional yep. miles of walking that I put in 5 days a week.
Yep.
And so you're like, okay, if you do that every single
it's
day.
Amazing.
Yeah, every single day. How would that change things?
Had you
it doesn't
not
seem like a lot,
have done any of that, you now have 10 miles a week more than you would have without
yeah
doing
for
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of the idea there, and I like it.
Yeah. I like it too, because it talks about, sometimes it's so demotivating to think about your goal, and even if it is kind of in reach, but then you start something with the starting motivation, but then your progress seems to be so slow because you're so focused on that one goal. Let's say, I don't know, to lose 20 pounds or whatever it is,
yeah.
then it feels so far away. But if you set the system as your actual goal to install whatever that system to make
great.
It a thing, then you succeed quicker, because it's just your task is to put that check mark. Yes, I did that today.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of, yes, I lost 20 pounds. That check mark is so far away, but the check mark, the daily thing to,
yeah.
I don't know, have a 10-minute workout routine and to eat healthier food or whatever, you know.
Right. He talks about like the dopamine response that we get. So like this good chemical boost that we get when we reach our goal. We reach the goal, you step on the scale and you see the right number and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is amazing. Or you start to feel it in your body. But if you can get that every single day on the way to your goal, then your body is trained in terms of like, this feels really good.
Yeah.
You know, and like, okay, I did that. Check, boom, boom, boom. And it just becomes natural.
Right.
To your life. And so not only do you reach that goal, but you surpass it typically.
Yes, and that's like exactly how people go from sometimes being overweight to being a marathon athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they just don't stop with that good habit of running or whatever they did. Yep. So it's just super cool and inspiring and fun to think about. And
yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, that if you want to read it, again, it's Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we listened to it in the morning heading to school, and then from there we're going to keep kind of picking personal development books and just keep going with it, because you know, and also us talking about it, for example, and making it a thing and focusing on it in a small segment at the end of our podcast, so nobody's super hopefully perturbed by it. It's just at the end, and for us it creates more of an experience with that book that we read, and that's sort of the thing. If you can create a memorable moment or sort of relish it or spend some time there, it will permeate sort of deeper into who you are.
Yes.
There we go. All right.
Can I just say real quick, thank you. This is not scripted or anything. I just feel like saying it. Thank you so much for listening. If you're still listening, I'm just having so much fun with this right now. I've always had, and especially now that we're working so much and during the week, there's so little time. This is like I always love coming to my desk on the weekend, starting this, writing the summary and going for a walk or a drive to listen to the chapter. That's my comfort place. And it means a lot to me.
Yeah, it does, guys. It means a lot to both of us. I mean, I think our Saturday morning is like, where are we going to go for breakfast? So we're blessed. We get to go to breakfast and we have something yummy. And then we start listening to the chapter. Mm-hmm. Lottie comes home, writes the summary. I work on some shorts.
Yeah.
And we've got the candles lit, the fall ambience video going, and the wind's blowing through the windows. And it just feels good. And we get to sit down and do all this
Yeah.
You know, we get to talk Harry Potter, our favorite thing, and we get to, you know, talk about it with you guys and share it.
So. And we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. And just that you're here.
Thank you. All right. Well, hey, friends. Thanks. That's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people. Don't be Dave like bumbling bands of baboons. Man, it is amazing that sometimes I get through that. I think people think we record these outros and intros. We never do, just so you guys know.
We always say it again. Wait, I just said, again.
Well, we do record them. I mean, we are recording, but they're pre-recorded, excuse me, and then we just insert it. We don't. I try to hit that bambling, bumbling bands of baboons every time. So if you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will continue our journey through Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with Chapter 13, Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw. So make sure you tune back in next time, and until then, have a great rest of your week. Danke for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home. On our next reread episode, we will continue our journey through Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban with chapter 13. 13. This is 13. Knox.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.